It is KMUN's Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, your host, and we will be here for the next hour sharing with you some of the fabulous events going on here, in addition to the fabulous weather and beautiful environment with our magnificent Columbia River. I better stop now, huh? Okay, I want to dedicate this show to our beloved birthday man of the week. And we have a lot of birthdays at this time, but this one stands out. Here's to Nelson Mandela, 95, yesterday.
Nelson Mandela!
Mandela!
Nelson Mandela, the man of the century, the man of two centuries, actually, isn't it? Yeah. I feel very blessed to have had him as part of my life through all these years. And I feel blessed to be here with KMUN, Coast Community Radio, and some of our local artists. And right now, I have my first guest, who is Cheryl Silverblatt. Cheryl's been here before. Several times, yeah, it's true. Cheryl is a weaver, but she does all kinds of stuff when you don't quite know what you're going to find when you go to see her work. She is here now talking about the show that opened last night at the Clatsop Community College Art Gallery, and it is the Coastal Fiber Arts 2013. It is a gorgeous show. When you walk in the room, it's like, whoa, there's so much color.
Yes.
And variety, too. There's diversity in forms and everything.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. So I understand there are over 30 fiber artists from around the country, which confused me a little because when I see Coastal Fiber Arts, I figure it's
yes, that I don't blame you for thinking that, but what we have done is what a lot of exhibitors do or organizations that mount exhibits like this is we've named it after the region.
Ah.
And so we're calling, we did Coastal Fiber Arts 2011, and now we've mounted Coastal Fiber Arts 2013. And as you mentioned, we're basking in the glow of our wonderful opening reception. Mm-hmm. It was lovely. And the show is quite beautiful.
And the name of your juror?
Our juror's name is Shelley Sokolowski. And she is a young woman,
yes,
young in terms of her career. She's remarkably well-trained. She had stellar credentials. She has a MFA, or Master of Fine Arts, from the U of O, as our does our Margaret, our own local Margaret,
right,
Theory.
Margaret, I remember when she got that, one of the early ones.
Yes. Yep. And Shelley has also studied in Italy and France. Mm-hmm. She has a wide range of ability. She is classically trained in tapestry weaving, but she does computer-aided design and has been trained on using those computerized big jacquard looms, so which are really fancy.
Has she ever shown her work here?
Yes, not here.
Oh, okay.
She did recently participate in a large fiber arts exhibit at the Bellevue Art Museum in Seattle, Washington.
Okay. Well, I was very impressed with her last night because she not only juried the show, but she chose the awards.
Yes.
And she took us through each one and gave us a really, I found it gave me a much greater insight into the work. I guess she had asked for artist statements,
yes,
is that it?
Yes, and I think you've hit on exactly her talent. She is a teacher. She does work at OCAC, but I thought she did a wonderful job of talking about both the place of women in the fiber arts arena and the notion of how all of our work now comes out of that really vital, striving, assertive movement in the 70s.
Can you paraphrase what she said on that? Because, yes, that took me by surprise. And I love that she brought in, what was that,
Architectural Digest.
I knew, as soon as she read the first part, I knew where she was going. I think we all knew where she was going.
Right.
But, oh boy, was
we
that.
Did.
That
wasn't it telling?
Yes,
it
okay, now
so
tell
telling.
Our audience.
well, Shelley, I had asked her to do a brief juror statement, and she talked about, briefly, the really vibrant movement for the development of fiber arts in the 70s. And many people may remember a lot of natural fibers and pooling thing, yarns
macrame
on the floor and macrame, all that. Yeah. But she talked about that as a need and desire for women, as for Native Americans and other minority groups to be able to be viewed as other. And what she meant by that was, don't put me in this female box. I can be an artist, and of course a surgeon, a lawyer, I can be anything, but I want to step out of this box that you've placed me in. And she, as you said, that Architectural Digest, there's a famous weaver named Sheila Hicks. She's in California, and the article was glowing and so surprised that a piece by Sheila Hicks, a piece of fiber art, sold for, oh my gosh, $75,000.
And we all started to smile at that point going, oh boy, it's coming. And then on the same page.
Right. Then was described by this review was Gerhard Richter, and they were pieces that have been owned by, you'll remember the rock musician better than I will, but they were older pieces, and oh my gosh, these Gerhard Richter paintings sold for $3.2 million. So,
and you looked at, I went up to her and talked to her afterwards, and I said, could I see that magazine?
Yay.
And she gave it to me, and I looked, and I went, oh my gosh, isn't this pathetic? And this
it's
is
true.
You know,
it's true. And her, and it was a perfect way to illustrate her point.
Yes.
And as you pointed out, she did such a good job of saying, we do, we had offered three monetary awards. They were pretty modest, but we were happy to be able to do that so that we got good entries. And she described why she selected the, made the awards for the specific entries that she did make. And she did such a wonderful, educational, informative job that.
Yeah, and it just gave me the ability. It helped me to go deeper into the piece. Now, this show is up through the August 15th, I believe. And the gallery will be open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5. So you have lots of time to see it. Of the more than 30 fiber artists represented, how many were from around here? Did you
we
catch
that? We had five local artists. I was fortunate to get a piece in.
Yes, you were, with a lovely piece.
Thank you. Yep. And Charlie Schweigert, who we know about his versatility.
Charlie,
what a surprise.
Again, every time he comes up with something totally new. And
yes.
And I mean totally.
Totally.
I mean, it's just, and always beautiful, but
He used an Asian felt technique. They are beautiful. Liana Riker, who many know is a wonderful classic Scandinavian weaver, and
Finnish.
She had a really
finish
will be important to say that.
Yes.
She had a beautiful Raya knot piece
made out of paper.
Paper yarn.
Yes, which is the
that she got from Finland.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. And that's one of a kind for sure. I think she's the only one doing that.
Yes.
Actually.
And that's quite a wonderful piece. And it's difficult to describe. So everybody needs to go and look at it.
Absolutely.
Constance Weissenen had a beautiful
quilted piece.
And
that was lovely. She had the dog in it, too. Right?
Yes, she had. And that was her son, I think, who was represented in Fishing the Elwha, which is a really, really nice piece. And
Margaret.
Margaret. How
course.
Could I forget? Margaret had three beautiful pieces. And as we all know, Margaret is a colorist. I find that to be her major talent and gift. And these pieces are complex weaves. They're very silk and rayon.
Silk.
Silk and, well, it's silk. I'm forgetting the word, but it is primarily silk. And very fine. So,
Beautiful. And she had her own show at one point at the Riversea, actually. And the room was filled with these colors, as you say, big and small. So, so we were very proud, Cheryl, of you and the other four locals.
Thank you.
The work, though, is so, it's a gorgeous. It's a gorgeous show.
It's so brilliantly vibrant.
So people should definitely get up there and see the show. Most of the work is for sale. Not all, but most of it is.
Yes.
And some of it is way above my budget, but that's what I love about an exhibit I get to see it, you know, whether I can
yes.
afford to take it home or not. So
exactly.
And I noticed, and I hadn't known about this, but I see it in the KMUN calendar box, that Redmond Hall in Skamakaway on Washington side of the Columbia River is presenting the Clatsop Weavers and Spinners Guild exhibit.
Yes.
And the name of the show, speaking of the women's movement, is, catch this, folks, listen carefully, it's so nice to have a loom around the house. I laughed out loud.
Yes, very clever. And yeah. the guild members work hard at putting up this show. They've done it. This is the third exhibit and sale. They have had it at Redmond Hall in Skamakaway. Mm-hmm. And it is wonderful items that, as Carol mentioned, might be a little more in your budget.
Mm-hmm.
They sell beautiful towels, scarves, handmade articles, hand-spun yarn. And it's just so much fun to see it. So if you want to take a nice afternoon trip, that would surely be worth it.
And this is actually going up tomorrow or opening tomorrow, but it's running through September 1st, so you have the entire month of August for that one, too. Thursday through Sunday, though, it's only weekend, long weekends, from noon to 4 p.m., and there is a phone number if you need that after the show. You can give me a call. Why? Let me just ask you a question, and then on behalf of all of these fiber arts people.
Okay.
Now you're representing thousands of people in the world. We talked about fiber arts coming from, you know, the women's movement as well, and we have men and women doing it now, of course.
Right.
But how, for you, for example, in the creation?
Yes.
How does it work for you that it's better than painting? Because obviously, if you have the eye and the ability to make beautiful things, why this instead?
Yes, and that's a good question, and it's actually a question I've reflected on myself.
Huh.
Why did I pick this? It's so much more labor and time intensive.
Yes, exactly.
But I think for me, there's a genuine and almost profound attraction to the yarns.
Mm-hmm.
And the possibility, although now in modern art, they're doing collage with all sorts of funny, interesting things, but people weave with wire, and as I have been doing with grasses, like raffia.
I was going to ask you to describe your piece, actually. What you have so much in that piece.
It is. It was it's a commission by Bill Fitch. He asked me to weave this for him, and I was just delighted to be able to do it. It does have bird feathers, oak leaves that have been treated with a little bit of glycerin so they'll stay together. And raffia is the major feature of the piece. And I think for me, finding these materials like raffia and being able to put in bamboo sticks and leaves and grasses.
Is there a letter or something in there too? Or what's that on the bottom left?
That is,
what is that?
I'm so glad you reminded me. That Bill presented me with a feather. A flicker feather that he's had for a very long time and was saving, and a Canadian $2 note.
Ah, that's what it was.
That's it.
$2
and
note.
I said, Bill, I will have to cut this up, and will the Canadian police come after me because I'm cutting up
their
money? And he said, no, that they don't use this particular bill anymore.
Right.
But it's such a sweet... beautiful bill.
Mm-hmm.
It has two robins on it. And so
the
with
birds,
the feather, the little nest motifs that I put in, and the robins, I couldn't resist calling it flight.
Nice.
It is about
well,
flight.
Well, it interests me that you use the raffia too. I know Bill does, works with paper.
He does.
And he melts it down and makes things. And I kept trying to give him all my leftover paper, but he said, I've got it. Thank you. But so interesting that he wanted to.
He is an artist himself.
But this is the thing. What you did, he couldn't do. And you wouldn't do what he does. And so he came to you for that. So I love that. I love
Isn't that a wonderful exchange? Yeah. Yeah. And what a wonderful community we have.
Yes.
That we know about what Bill Fitch does,
yeah,
and others know about what I do and what Margaret does,
right,
and Charlie.
Right. Put it all together. An exchange.
What a joy it is.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that one of the reasons I appreciate being able to do this show, because to me, the art, you know, that bumper sticker that says art saves lives. I think
yes.
Lorraine Ortiz did that 30 years ago or something, but I believe it totally. And
I think so too.
That artists of all people, and it's hard because we're all so off in the world, but need to work together. Because this is the model.
Yeah. I'll echo that and really believe it strongly that we are a growing art community, and collaboration and cooperation is what really will help us mature, and we really do need to work together.
Okay. Cheryl Silverblatt is my guest, and she and 29 other fiber, more than 30 actually, other fiber artists opened last night at Clatsop Community College Art Gallery. If you come to this vicinity, you just drive up 16th Street, take a left, go as far as you can, and the gallery is there. Check it out. Mondays through Thursdays, 9 to 5, it will be open, and it is a gorgeous show. And I'm thinking that people might be able to see some of it on the web, too. Do you know if they...
Well, we are hoping. I don't know if Astoria Visual Arts is thinking... Of putting some of the pieces up.
Okay, and for now, folks, come on to Astoria and get up there and see the show.
Thank you, Carol. I hope everyone does.
And for full disclosure, I brought in some of my mother's early weavings from before the 70s even. She's been doing the fiber arts and everything else all her life. So I was extra thrilled last night to see some of the work on the walls.
Well, and if I can just say, Carol's mother was ahead of her time. What a treat to see this.
Yeah, it makes my heart. Thanks, Cheryl, so much.
Thank you.
And this is KMUN. I have some music from the Lloyd Jones Struggle. And Lloyd Jones is doing a solo show Sunday, 6 p.m. at Sweet Basil's in Cannon Beach. And he is a terrific performer. Check it out, and do stay tuned.
We waited years for this. So let's live it up. Let's live it up. One, two, get that Keemstar groove. Thank you.
that is Lloyd Jones, and he's going to be doing a solo show this Sunday at Sweet Basil's in Cannon Beach, and he is a delightful performer, as I mentioned. So I have here a whole mess of folks. Actually, there's only four of them. That's getting to be a small group these days. That used to be a lot of people, but ever since tenor guitar with eight guests in the room, no problem. And the major players here are Chrissy Alexander. Hello, Chrissy.
Hi.
And Becca Howe. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
And Becca's been here numerous times, yes. But Chrissy, have you ever been on air?
Yep, I've been here a couple times.
Okay, too. You have. Come a little bit closer. Okay, and then I also have, the reason they're here is they are both seniors.
At Astoria High School.
Going into your senior year.
Yep.
Okay, so for their senior project, I find this very exciting. They're doing a series of one acts over the summer, and they're going to tell you about it. And I love this idea, classic fairy tales with a funny twist, especially the one that you wrote about, Pinocchio in Equal Opportunity Land. I'm going to let them tell you about it because that's really terrific. And the other two people in the room are Matt Berger. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
And are you a senior too?
Yes, I am going to be an oncoming senior.
So this is going to be part of your project?
Oh, no, I'm just volunteering.
That's nice. Do you have your own project or you haven't decided yet?
I have some plans.
Okay. We'll get you later. Okay. And Raven Blackwell, who is not a high school senior, I can attest to that. Right, Raven?
Yes.
How old are you, Raven?
I'm 10.
10. So if you were a high school senior, we would be scared because you would be way too genius for us. So Chrissy and Becca, do you both? I know Becca does. Chrissy, you also have a theater background? Or?
Yeah, just at the high school mainly. And then I've done a little bit with Upward Bound as well.
Ah, that's where. Okay, yep. Now we're putting it all together. Yes,
yeah.
Okay. So you came up with an idea. Did the two of you come up with it together? Is that, or did one of you, and then how did it work?
We co-stage managed one of the plays last year, and we talked about it, and we just decided that we wanted to do a tech workshop at the high school. And then it kind of morphed into two different projects. So I would take 6th, 7th, and 8th graders and teach them high school theater and like what it's like to be in high school theater.
Oh,
and
great.
She would take high schoolers and teach them how to do the tech.
Wow. What a great... And you've done that? Or that's what you're doing this summer or what?
We're doing it right now. It's a two-week process. So,
did you get the students? I mean, because this is not school time, so...
I have about 6 or 7 kids who are in my production, and
terrific.
She has one person who is one of our good friends, and yeah.
Okay. So how's this going to work? A series of one acts, or are you going to do one play, or are you going to do several plays, or what?
We're going to do a couple different one acts. Becca has picked out a few different scenes from a play, so she's got her set of four all picked out for her.
Are these also classic fairy tales with a funny twist? Now, who wrote these?
I don't know, actually, because it was in a book that was just for teens and stuff, and it was just
and
in
it
a fairy
already
tale
had
one.
The funny twist on
yeah,
it.
They all
okay.
had the funny twist
okay.
with them.
Okay, great. So, and you are the director, Becca?
Yeah.
Okay, and Chrissy, you're doing the tech?
Yes.
Okay, and Matt, what are you going to be doing?
Basically, I've just been around for anything they need me to do.
Good idea. Having a big, strong young man around for anything you want. Could you come to my house? I've got some jobs.
Oh, yeah. Anything you need me for.
All right. And Raven, what's your role in all of this?
I play some of the parts, four characters, and... It's really hilarious.
Wait a second. Four characters in one play or in four different plays?
Four characters and
in four different one acts. Yeah, all
okay.
of the there are just enough kids to fill in all of the roles and all four of the one acts. And I asked them if they wanted to do two or three and not do all four. They're like, "Oh yeah, no, we want to do all four. We can do it."
Wow, that's brave of all of you, the actors and the director. I might add.
Yeah,
you've directed before though.
No, I've just done a lot of theater.
Yeah, I knew that. I'm Shanghai. You did
mostly Shanghai. That's
right.
Where I started with Missoula and then I went to Shanghai.
Oh, okay. Speaking of Missoula, the auditions for Missoula, let me just throw this in right now, are this Monday, 10 to noon, for Blackbeard the Pirate. And the performance is going to be next Friday night and Saturday afternoon. Just throw that out right now. So, so Chrissy, where did you learn to do your tech work?
My tech work has all been done at the high school. I've had a little bit of it passed down from alumni of Astoria High School who have taught me the bits and pieces that they know. And instead of continuing that tradition, I've created an option for kids to get a good foundation of what tech is like rather than just kind of learning bits and pieces from other people.
Okay, speaking of bits and pieces, when you say tech, tell people what you mean, theater tech.
Okay, theater tech is someone running the light board, which is how the lights work, all of the shadows and colors and whatnot. And then there's also sound tech, which is running the sound board, picking the music that we play, sound effects, stuff like that. And then there's also stage managing, which is my favorite thing to do.
Yes, I know about that. Yeah, go ahead.
I love stage managing. Stage managing.
You get to boss everybody around.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're in charge of the
show. Exactly. I do that for Troll Radio. No, you go. They don't always listen, though. Do you find
that? Yeah, I find that a little bit, too, sometimes. They get a little squirrely.
Squirrely. I'll tell the big guys they're being squirrely. See how that goes over. So do you pass that on as well? You're teaching all of these skills.
Yep.
Wow. So who's going to be doing the tech for these four one acts?
It's going to be Hannah Brown, who is my student, and then myself. And then hopefully we're going to grab a couple other people to be stagehands as well.
Okay. And now tell us about this Pinocchio in Equal Opportunity Land. I read that thing and I cracked up.
Well, Pinocchio in Equal Opportunity Land is the basic story of Pinocchio, except instead of a fairy godmother, it's a fairy mod mother. And she comes in and she says that it has to all be equal, so we have to make a boy and a girl come to life. So it's just about how Shirley Temple and Pinocchio compete in this whatever, and they...
Temple and Pinocchio.
Yeah. Yep.
I loved it. Right. And how long are the one acts?
They're about 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
Haven't quite timed them yet.
So on the 27th? Are we going to see one act or four one acts?
You're going to see four.
All four.
Pinocchio in Equal Opportunity Land, Hansel and Gretel Company Incorporated, Aladdin Strikes It Rich, and Sherwood Forest Revisited.
Oh, great. Where is it going to be happening?
The Astoria High School Auditorium.
Okay. And time?
7 o'clock. Doors open at 6:30.
Okay. And we don't go into money, but I presume it won't be too expensive.
It's free.
It's free?
Mm-hmm.
Better yet. Okay. And will you be doing it again then? It's on the 27th?
Probably not.
Okay. So then we need people to know the 27th is Saturday night, a week from now. And that's at the Astoria High School Auditorium. I don't think you have to sell tickets in advance. It's a huge place. But it sounds like it's going to be a blast. So everybody show up. And once you do this, then you're done with your senior project.
Yep.
And you have your whole senior year free to help everybody else. Matt, you're going to call them in? You're going
to
call in your chits?
I might have to call in some favors.
Absolutely. Raven, have you done theater before?
Well, I was in Scrooged in Astoria.
Oh, yeah.
And that was fun, but being with Becca, it's been a party.
Holy cow. How old are you? 10?
Yes.
You could hire her, huh? She'll do your... Great. Okay, guys, break your legs. Not you, just you. Only Raven gets to break a leg. Oh, your mother's going to kill me. Okay. Thank you so much for coming in. Congratulations on making it this far. We'll talk to you next year. Make sure you graduate. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you all for coming in. That's Chrissy Alexander and Becca Howe with tech and directing, and Matt Berger as a gopher, and Raven Blackwell as an actor. Thank you so much for coming in. Okay. And that's next Saturday night. You can catch their act. We have several more guests, so I'm going to play some music from Bonnie Bentley, who's playing tonight at Kala, and that's 8:30. I believe the doors open, 9 o'clock show, something like that. Dinah's going to be here to tell you about it, and Hannah Nebaker is going to talk about summer art camp as well. Stay tuned. Coast Community Radio, KMUN, KTCB, coastradio.org, all over the world. Love you, Halifax. That is Bonnie Bentley, and we're going to hear more about Bonnie. Many folks, local folks know her, but now she's got a great album, and tonight she's debuting it, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. Right now, I wanted to talk with Hannah Nebaker, who is here this time wearing her Cannon Beach Arts Association hat or sunglasses and earrings or something, because she's not wearing a hat. It's too hot out there. And Hannah is actually a board member, is that right?
Yes.
With Cannon Beach
yes.
Arts Association. So you're going to tell us about this 11th Annual Summer Art Camp.
Yes, and I am.
It's like this Monday, isn't it?
It is. It starts on Monday. Okay. It's an awesome camp. We've been doing it for 11 years, and it goes the 22nd through the 26th, and we have two sessions each day from 10 to noon and 1 to 4. And I'm teaching a class for preschoolers, which is going to be fun. It's just an openly creative activity class. We're going to...
Don't you teach somewhere else?
I sure do.
That's one of her other hats, and that would
yeah.
be...
And that's at Fire Mountain School.
Yeah. So you've heard her before going, wait, I know that. Okay. but this time you're teaching... What surprised me was that I read that this was an all-age camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's unusual.
It is.
So, like, old people like me.
yeah. We've got classes that go even, there's some classes that are 12 to adults. And
I like that. 12 to adults. That's
great.
Good. And mix and match.
Whenever you decide you're an adult.
Yes. Gives you a lot of leeway. Okay. So, you are going to be doing preschool. And what does that mean when you say it's kind of open?
Lots of activities that encourage the children to really express their individual creative selves. Not a lot of, pre-cut things. It's lots of openly. Yeah.
Is it what medium?
We're going to do some sand painting and some bubble painting, which is really fun.
What is bubble painting?
So we color bubbles and then blow bubbles at the canvas.
Wait a second. You lost me already. What does it mean to color bubbles?
So you add...
I know bubble gum.
Yeah.
It's colored, but what is this?
So you take some bubbles, good old... fashion bubbles, and add some food coloring or some dye to it.
Into the wet stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Into the actual mixture. And then they just blow the bubbles at their at their canvas, and it creates this really cool effect.
I want to do that. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is that only for the preschool kids, or is that for the 12 to adult?
But yeah. Please drop by if you're there.
Yes. After all, they do need chaperones. Dinah and I will come and be
they
chaperones.
They put a little gin in the adult bubbles. No.
Yeah, those bubbles are
That's
fun bubbles.
Fascinating. Okay. Yeah. And do the kids, do you move them through? This is, I read something also about a drop-in class? How does that work?
This one is doing, it's registration, and we ask that people register ahead, and I've got a couple of numbers for that.
Okay.
You can call the gallery.
436-0744.
Thank you.
Yeah,
or
the only one I have.
Barbara Temple Ayers is the other contact, and she is at 503-368-6220.
Okay. And, so do people need to register?
Yeah, it's so best to register. Okay. Yeah.
So they can call. And if you miss those numbers, call us here at the station after the show, 4 o'clock, and we'll give you those numbers so you can call and register. And that's for anybody who's doing the camp or only for the preschool?
Nope, that's for anybody who wants to do the camp. The classes are filling up.
Oh,
I have space in my class left, and there's a couple, there's a few classes that
See,
have space.
Dinah, there's room for us. Where is this being held?
It's being held at the Cannon Beach Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that safe?
Probably one of the last events.
Really? They already said goodbye to the school, didn't they?
I know it. They did. We were lucky to have one last hurrah there.
Yeah. So, but that's a nice facility. I've done lots of haystack stuff there.
Yeah.
In that big. I also taught dance there years and years ago.
Oh, it's wonderful. Well, that brings
Cannon Beach Elementary.
An important fact. I also teach at a summer arts enrichment program at Fire Mountain School, which is happening right now. And we are merging the two programs.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
So they will not be having, we'll find a new location next year for the Cannon Beach Arts Association camp. But these two programs will become one. And I want to tell everybody about the Fire Mountain camp. So summerenrichmentarts@gmail.com is the place to get information for it. And it is happening now through August 15th. Next week, we will be the teachers at the Fire Mountain camp. We'll be at the Cannon Beach Arts Association camp. And so we're hoping to have some people then come back over to Fire Mountain with us after next week. And on the week of August 6th, Royal Nebaker is coming to teach a children's art workshop.
That name is very familiar. Let's see. There's a Hannah Nebaker, my guest, and a Royal Nebaker, who is the printmaking deity. That's what I can say. In this community, he has kicked off so many printmaking careers in this community. So is he going to be doing printmaking or painting?
He's going to be doing, again, some openly creative exercises with the kids. Yeah, he's going to teach them how to tap into their individual
And how old
expression.
Do you have to be in Royals class?
Well, that is pending instructor approval. Almost anybody can come.
Oh, now.
Oh, oops.
You just have to be approved.
You have to be approved. You have to pass. Who do you call for that?
So that you can call myself at 503-459-6725. And also the email is a great way. Again, it's summerenrichmentarts@gmail.com. It's the C program.
Excellent. Excellent. And there are other classes as well for different age groups and...
At the C program, it is two classes. One is preschool age, so like 4 to 6, and the other class is 7 to 12, and it's taught by Sarah Leopold.
Ah, Sarah Leopold, who's been here as well. And that name is familiar to some people because on Saturdays we have somebody named Todd Leopold. So, boy, we just have such a wonderful extended family of art and enrichment and community here. So, so right now, people need to know this. This coming Monday is the 11th Annual Summer Art Camp, the Cannon Beach Arts Association, and you do need to call and register. It's happening for a week at the Cannon Beach Elementary School. I jotted all this down. Tell me if I'm wrong. And it's all age, and you don't even have to be approved, but you do need to register.
That's right.
And are there any drop-in classes or no?
You know, I think that if you wanted to try and drop in, you could. Yeah.
Okay. So, but best to call and best make sure there's space. And then it follows with the Summer Enrichment Arts at gmail.com, and that's associated with Fire Mountain School. But again, art, 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 creativity, expression, and I love it. It's wonderful, wonderful. So, yes, did you have one more thing?
I have
you
one more
say?
Thing. Okay, yes.
One more thing. We'll let you say one more thing.
Thank you. We also, the Cannon Beach Arts Association, wants to remind everyone that we offer our individual artists grant. The CBAA, in conjunction with the City of Cannon Beach, awards a $3,000 grant to an artist living in Cannon Beach or Arch Cape annually. Past artists include Sally LaCaff of Astoria. She did a wonderful hand-bound book of her wonderful column, Wildlife on the Edge. Mm-hmm. Another former...
I've got one.
Oh, nice.
I've got one of the little ones. Not her
face.
It's gorgeous.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Another one of my favorite high school teachers, John Broderick, the founder of Fisher Poets.
Yes.
So we've got some good people that have gotten this grant.
And this year isn't Jessica Sund.
Jessica Sund.
Yes. And hopefully she'll be coming in to this show at some point to tell us about her work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's doing a fiber arts project.
Right.
And so, if you want to find out more about it, again, call the gallery. And the deadline is approaching mid-September.
For you to apply, whoever you are listening, and be the recipient for next year. Wonderful. Okay. Thank you, Hannah.
Thanks
Hannah Nebaker with the Cannon Beach Arts Association and Fire Mountain School. And... lots of other things. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much, Carol. Good to see you.
Okay, you bet. And I'm going to let Hannah slip away, and but Dinah's staying, and Dinah and I are just going to sit here and blow bubbles. Oh, no, wait. No, that's not what we're going to do. Actually, Dinah has a whole happening weekend. Dinah Urell, most of you in this community know her, whether you think you do or not, because she is the... editor, publisher, producer, writer of Hipfish, our Arts and Culture Monthly. And due to a terrible event of the burning of 610 Street or 106th Street, Dinah moved into a fabulous space.
Yeah.
And now has her office, Hipfish, upstairs, and downstairs is a beautiful performing space and art space called Kala.
Ooh.
Did I get it right?
You did. Wow.
Spelled K-A-L-A. See how we learn so much. It means fish in Finnish.
Correct.
All right. That's all I know.
That's all we
However,
need to know.
However, you are doing a couple of performances this weekend, so tell us.
Yes. Okay. Well, tonight is Bonnie Bentley, and this is a special show. She, there's a story on Bonnie and Hipfish this month, and Bonnie is... really is a unique performer in this area because she is one of those women back in the early 80s who began, you know, fronting rock bands. And that's kind of when it started happening. And also the era of music was when, you know, rock music was changing to that new wave and punk-oriented music, the more minimalist rock style. Bonnie is a true and pure creative artist in that genre of rock.
I think if you
really
see her,
awesome
you'll
song,
recognize
songwriter
a lot of them.
And performer of the music vocally and also on the guitar. And she had...
Oh, this is brand new.
A band here in the 30s, in the 30s.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. Maybe so,
maybe
too, huh? Yeah.
In another life. so bubbles.
Yeah, yes. The New Creatures. And Pierce Christie was in the band.
Oh, yeah.
I think Bill Tinkala was in the band.
God.
And but then she, you know, she went off to Portland. Mm-hmm. She was from Portland anyway. She's had a lot of different bands.
Now
and I wanted to say she's this performance tonight is it's kind of a retrospective because she's going to be playing her old music and her new songs that
solo
she's been writing.
Or with
oh
a
no,
band.
It's a band. A whole,
okay,
yeah, four. Yeah,
these guys.
Yep.
Okay, so
and she's
got
this EP out.
Yep.
and her band, The Phantom Teardrops.
And we just heard one of the tunes,
from a distance. Yeah. And
okay, let's. I want to give you plenty of time for the next one. So let's say it's Patrick Lines on harmonica, Arthur Beardsley on bass and backing vocals, and Jeff Cardini drums. And again, you may think you don't know these people, but when you see them, you'll know them. So they. That's tonight.
That's tonight.
At what time?
Doors open at 8:30.
Okay. Now, let's go ahead to move to tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yes.
We have been anticipating this for a long time.
Oh, gosh.
Four in song. We have Dinah Urel herself, and we have Martin Buell, Teresa Barnes, and Andrea Mazzarella. And that is going to be quite amazing, with an exploration of genre-bending musical styles. So tell us, tell us about this.
Okay. Well, Kala the Space, we've been working on it. It's oriented toward cabaret performance. And that is because I love cabaret performance.
That's a good reason.
And so this is a cabaret show, and it's also a theater piece. It's a one act theater piece with there's no speaking. It's just all music, all
like
song.
Opera.
Yeah. And we're doing songs from various eras. There's a 13th century song and a 16th century song.
Oh, my.
There's a blues song. There's some modern opera and pop songs and rock songs. And so it's all blended into a show.
So how does it work? Or is each performer doing different stuff and then together? Or
yeah,
how
we
are
do.
You doing?
We have some group songs, but it's mostly solo songs.
Okay.
And it's highly eclectic. And so this is a bit experimental.
Okay. Teresa and Andrea often sing together.
Yeah,
are they going to be
Yeah, they are not singing together.
Okay.
We have split them up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that must have been traumatic.
Yes.
No. Okay. It's good. No, it's good. You know.
And everybody's doing songs that... a part of this work in progress that we've been working on for over a couple of months now has been just working on our own vocal styles and sort of stretching and finding other kinds of music that we want to try to sing that we wouldn't normally be singing.
So did each performer pick his or her own, or did you
I bossed them around. I like to do that.
All right.
And they let me. You can believe that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I chose the songs. I chose the songs for them, and I also chose the songs to sort of to make the show. To build a continuum of some sort, of creative continuum.
This is exciting. This
it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I will say, there's a lot of technical stuff in the show, a lot of little technical music things, you know, to work out. And, of course, this is like the first show. So I'm sure there's going to be little glitches and things like that. We're feeling good, but we know we have like some spots and things that probably won't, you know, get worked out until the next
time. What we're going to focus on is the fact that this is a virgin experience everybody, for the performers as well as for the audience. And, this is an opportunity to be there and be a supportive audience and experience.
And
this.
I know, and just have fun on the ride, praying for us. And we also have we have our house musicians, the Gorsuch brothers, Sterling and Color Gorsuch, and so they will be helping to weave, you know, the continual songs together.
Right.
And some of the songs, there's some minimal staging. Mm-hmm. Each song is pretty different, so it's a
mix-up. Is there any costuming at all?
It's minimal costuming.
Okay, because I can't imagine when you'd have time to change.
Yeah, there's some minimal costuming, and we have some, you know, minimal lighting. Lori Honnell is helping us with lighting.
Good.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. No matter what, Dinah, I can feel Dinah's a little nervous about this, but what I know, what I personally know, is each of these four people, Teresa Barnes, Andrea Mazzarella, Martin Buell, and Dinah Urel, is an excellent, wonderful singer and performer. So whatever happens and whatever is like, what was that, is, I think, kind of added in to the whole mix. You can't go wrong when you've got the quality.
And that's what I'm we have been having so much fun working together.
Wonderful.
And everybody,
wow.
We're all, you know, working in it. And everybody is sounding wonderful.
That's great.
And it's going to be rich.
That's great.
It's going to be very rich.
And it's a first time. It's a virgin experience for all of us. So
right, together, yes.
Together.
Yeah.
Wow, this
Wow-wee.
Is exciting right here in Little Old Astoria. Kala is 1017, am I right?
Marine Drive.
It's on the south side of the street between 10th and 11th. And it is a delightful venue. Are you going to have it set up with the cabaret tables?
Yeah, we'll have cabaret tables.
Oh,
and then we have that bench seating in the back.
Yes.
And it is limited seating because we'll be using the floor. So we have to, it's a smaller audience situation.
Can people get tickets in advance?
We have,
we're not giving prices, but can...
Advanced tickets at Imogen and Riversea.
Okay.
And if you didn't pick up one of those, I would suggest getting there right. You know, the doors open at 9:30.
Okay, this is a late show.
Yeah.
So the doors open at 9:30 and the show is 10:15-ish is what I read.
And in Kala, because literally you're walking into the stage, basically.
Yes,
and
you
always have to be flexible with people getting their drinks and going to the bathroom and sitting down and, you know, because it's a pretty intimate experience, you know.
It is.
Yeah.
But I like the informality. And I especially like that just about everything you've had there has been quality.
Oh,
do you have something up on the walls right now? Is there any
art we have up on the Cicely
walls?
Gilman.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the clock saying,
okay,
that's it. Thank you, Dinah,
thank you.
For coming in again.
Thank
this
you,
is
Carol.
Tonight for Bonnie Bentley
and
the Phantom Teardrops tomorrow evening. And that's at 9, doors open at 8:30. Tomorrow night, doors open at 9:30 for 4 in song. Don't miss it.